Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Heavenly Father, we know that your Son, Jesus, had all power in heaven and in earth. Yet he condescended to our low estate in a grand act of service to mankind.
Let us join together in prayer. Rabboni Olam, Master of the Universe, thank you for giving our nation these esteemed United States Senators to help us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. God, you are the Merciful. Have mercy on us, for your mercy is perfect.
There is certainly quite a variety of prayers being prayed before government functions, the opening of the State House or Senate, legislative bodies, the Supreme Courts of the states and of the United States, all open with some kind of invocation or prayer. Of course, our U.S. Senate and our U.S. House of Representatives open every day with not only the shot of the gavel, but also with a prayer, sometimes from the chaplain. Yes, we still even have chaplains for these bodies. Sometimes from a guest chaplain, and it really runs the gamut. You hear Christian, you hear Muslim, you hear Jew, you hear Hindu, you hear, don't know what to call some of what you hear. It certainly sounds Christian-ish, but it doesn't quite fit the bill for Christian. And I imagine that if you go to all 50 states, to all 50 state houses or their legislative bodies, you might hear opening prayers that run the religious gamut from, I don't know, Hinduism, Sikhism, you name it, even the more obscure religions. Is there something wrong with that? You might say, well, the United States is still, at least ostensibly, a Christian-majority country. Should most of the prayers being prayed there, should all of the prayers being prayed there in our state and national houses, our legislative bodies, should they be Christian? It's a question that the Supreme Court is actually going to be considering. Limits on prayer for government functions, government meetings. Now, they've said it's not unconstitutional for there to be prayers there. But the question is, what kind of limits should there be, especially given the fact that most of those prayers, given the fact that this is United States of America and most of the population is some kind of Christian, at least nominally, most of those prayers sound like Christian prayers or something like Christian prayers. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th. It's Audio Open Lines, your chance to react to answer, to comment on, and to ask questions about the Supreme Court case on prayer before government meetings. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a complaint. I wonder, is this a legitimate complaint? That most of the prayers prayed at these beginning of these meetings for the government are in fact Christian, the vast majority of them. So that needs to be remedied. We're going to hear the story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, and then I want to hear from you. We are coming to you live this Tuesday, November the 12th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or we have left space for you to leave a question, comment, or reaction to the Supreme Court's decision to hear the case on the limit of public prayer for government functions at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you email us or if you leave your question, comment, or reaction at our Facebook fan page, please include your city and state. We'd like to know where you're listening. 1-877-623-6943, talkback at issuesetc.org, or facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's a little bit of the story on this issue from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States.
The court's hearing itself began with an invocation to God.
God save the United States and this honorable court.
The House of Representatives and the Senate also routinely begin with prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty God.
And the Supreme Court ruled 30 years ago that doing so does not violate the First Amendment prohibition of government establishment of religion. But this week's case from Greece, New York, a predominantly Christian suburb of Rochester, may test the limits of such prayer. The prayers that open the town board's monthly meetings are almost always Christian, as are those who give them.
We acknowledge the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Father Alex Bradshaw, a frequent prayer giver, is typical.
From his resurrection at Easter, Jesus Christ, who took away the sins of the world.
A federal appeals court in New York ruled the town had unconstitutionally favored the Christian faith after observing that two-thirds of the prayers offered contain references to Jesus, your Son, or the Holy Spirit.
This is a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on the U.S. Supreme Court considering a complaint from New York that most of the prayers prayed at the opening of the State House there are in fact Christian prayers. They're seeking some kind of remedy. Do you think it's a good idea to have prayer at government meetings, to open or close government meetings? Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines live on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th. I want your reaction to this. Do you think it's a good idea to have prayer at government meetings? Why or why not? 1-877-623-6943. Is this a legitimate complaint for the Supreme Court that most of these prayers are Christian and are prayed by Christians? 1-877-623-MYIE. Leave your question, comment, or reaction, or your answer to these questions at our Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/issuesetc. Should the political majority, be it of a state or of a nation, have its viewpoint predominantly represented in the prayers that open government meetings? In other words, should most of the prayers be Christian because most Americans, at least nominally, are Christian? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc.
Attorney Tom Hungar, defending the town of Greece in the Supreme Court, warned of the risk of allowing the government to engage in deciding who may offer a prayer or the language it may contain.
To say you can pray in these words to these deities, but not in those words to those deities, that is government regulating the theological content of prayers, prescribing what is orthodox and what is not in religion, and that is contrary to our tradition of religious liberty.
So that's the basic argument that's being made against kind of the de facto restriction of what's being prayed at the beginning of government meetings. Do you think it's a good idea to have prayer at government functions? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Is it a legitimate complaint that most of the prayers are in fact made by Christians and are at least ostensibly Christian in nature? And should the political majority of a state or of a nation have its religious viewpoints predominantly represented in the prayers that open government meetings? I want your answer to those questions on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, etc. This break is a great time to call, send us an email, or go to our Facebook fan page, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us that email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll hear the rest of the story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, and we'll get to your responses right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas, St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas, University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th. It's Audio Open Lines, your chance to react to, ask questions about, or make a comment about the Supreme Court willing to hear a case on the limits of prayer before government meetings. We're listening to a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on that, and we'll get to your questions and your comments in just a minute. We're giving away the book to the listener with the best question or comment on this subject. Frank Beckwith, he's a regular guest here on the program, has written a great book, Politics for Christians. We'll give that away to the listener with the best question or comment as we talk about the Supreme Court case on prayer before government meetings. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave your question or comment or your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And the listener with the best question or comment will get Issues Etc. regular guest Frank Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians. 1-877-623-6943. Let's hear the rest of the story from PBS Religion and Ethics Newsweekly.
The plaintiffs in the case, Linda Stevens, who is an atheist, and Susan Galloway, who is Jewish, say their town governing board is a lot different from Congress. Their lawyer told the court the town's prayers are inherently coercive.
You cannot refuse to participate in the prayer just before you stand up to ask the board to take discretionary action that affects you directly and personally. This is highly coercive. It is also a sectarian endorsement. This case is about Christians aggressively imposing themselves on their fellow citizens with the power of government.
The justices appear to be split along ideological lines, with conservative justices Antonin Scalia and Sam Alito most supportive of the town board. Alito pointed out that the opening prayers of the very first Congress were highly sectarian, much like those in Greece, New York.
When the First Amendment was ratified in 1791, the country was mostly Protestant, unlike today, when countless religions are represented. Several justices pointed out that crafting a prayer today that doesn't offend somebody could be daunting, if not impossible. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Tim O'Brien at the Supreme Court.
All right, there's a story I want to hear from you. Do you think it's a good idea to have prayer at government functions? Should it just be eliminated altogether? Was the Supreme Court essentially wrong that because it is viewed as coercive by so many, those who are not part of the Christian majority, or it could be viewed as coercive as those who are part of the Christian majority? Because it is, maybe they were wrong when they said that these things do not violate the free exercise of religion and that prayer should be kept before government meetings. Is it a good idea to have prayer at government functions? What about the kind of the nature of the venue that makes them, well, tend toward the generic prayers? They're viewed as sectarian, but sometimes they're hardly Christian. Is it a legitimate complaint that most of the people making these prayers, whatever the venue may be, are in fact Christians or Christian-ish? And should the political majority have its views represented in these public prayers? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We're giving away Politics for Christians. It's a book by Frank Beckwith, a regular guest here on the program, to the listener with the best question or comment on this subject. 1-877-623-6943, facebook.com/issuesetc, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Ryan, listening in Wisconsin, says, I guess my question is, how do we discern between the right to religious freedom in America and Jesus' instruction to not make a public spectacle of prayer, rather pray in private? I don't think it's right to get legalistic with Jesus' words, but when public, that is outside of the church, prayer is discussed, his words are always on my mind. Well, it's a good question. I mean, to what degree, what is Jesus condemning when he condemns these kind of public prayers on the part of the scribes and the Pharisees? It is not the fact that they pray in public. Jesus prays in public too. John 17, one of the longest public prayers I can imagine anyone's ever given. If you did this at the beginning of the Senate House, you would not only be escorted out about 3 minutes in, but you find yourself in all sorts of hot water. So Jesus himself prayed in public. What is he condemning on the part of the scribes and the Pharisees for their public prayers? Their self-righteousness. That's what he's condemning. The fact that they think they are heard on account of their many words. That is, the words add up to God must hear me. And making a show before men so as to be seen by them. That is, to display one's own self-righteousness before men. So he does not condemn prayer or even public prayer, but he does say that when it is done so as to make a show before men, or because you think because of your many prayers, your many words, you are heard by God, it is a symptom, a sign of self-righteousness, which is what Jesus is really condemning there. So what could one of these prayers at the beginning of a House, U.S. House of Representatives session, could it fall into that category? Absolutely it could. But Jesus doesn't condemn public prayer per se, just the self-righteousness of public prayer. It's a good question, Ryan. Thanks for listening in Wisconsin. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You know, maybe to illustrate the point, let's listen to a couple examples of kind of the good, the bad, the ugly of these public prayers that open the meetings of various state houses and the House of U.S. Representatives and of the U.S. Senate. Here's a good example.
Heavenly Father, thank you for civil government and the power that you invest in each of the members in the People's House. With that power comes tremendous responsibility and sacrifice. We know that your Son, Jesus, had all power in heaven and in earth, yet he condescended to our low estate in a grand act of service to mankind. Truly, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We ask that such noble acts of courage, commitment, and compassion be evident in the men and women leading the United States. Help them to remember that they serve their fellow citizens and are accountable to you, the Almighty God. In the midst of this sacrificial service, may they make time to spend with their families and with you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, there's an example. Now, I say it's a good example. Good in what sense? Let me explain. Would it be a prayer fit? Would it be a prayer that can be based seriously on the promises of God and on the clear proclamations of Holy Scripture? I think in that case, you can quibble about some of the details. Yes. Now, that is a distinctly Christian prayer, one might argue. I think one would be safe to argue that that is a distinctly Christian prayer. So, is it sectarian? Is it inherently coercive, as the plaintiffs in the Supreme Court case are arguing about all Christian prayer in public government functions? We might applaud that a Christian pastor has the courage to pray such a prayer, knowing that he's probably going to be called a sectarian for praying such a prayer that explicitly mentions Jesus, that explicitly mentions Jesus' sacrifice. At least it gets very close to mentioning that sacrifice. And that if you listen to it, actually kind of followed the course of the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't the Lord's Prayer, but it certainly sounded a lot like the Lord's Prayer, especially near the end. You say, it was a good Christian prayer. It was a fine prayer. But does it belong at the beginning of government meetings, especially when so many, so sensitive today, would say that it's sectarian, it's endorsement of a sectarian viewpoint, and it's an inherently coercive? What do you say? Such prayers certainly would be fitting any place. Do they belong in government meetings? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave your question, comment, or reaction at our Facebook fan page. Your chance to win Frank Beckwith's excellent book, Politics for Christians, that we're giving away to the listener with the best question or comment on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, as often as you can find kind of the solid Christian prayer represented at these government functions, you can also find the more wishy-washy, generic, religious-sounding prayer.
Let us pray. Ever-present God, we know you by many names, but most striking, you know us and each person we represent by name and with love. Thank you. God who heals, we pray for the full restoration of Representative Giffords and for the personal struggles of each person here. Remind us that you have the power and desire to heal each wound we carry into this chamber. Uniting God, give us the wisdom to understand how to work together for the plight of your people in need. Save us from ourselves and surprise us with shared solutions for the problems your children face. God of all, we represent not only those who have our ear, but those who have no voice. So let us not raise our hands to vote without bowing our hearts to your will. Through your love that changes the world, we pray. Amen.
You know, that's about as generic as you could possibly get. I mean, so generic as to say this is a God that is called upon by many names, to end not with the name of Jesus. I don't know whether or not the prayer in this case is a Christian or not, but there's nothing explicitly Christian about that prayer. And, you know, those kind of prayers go down a lot easier with people who are concerned about the sectarian nature of prayer at government functions. And sometimes that's what they're driven to. You get kind of a generic spirituality, nothing explicitly Christian. If that's what it's going to be, should we be having Christians pray at government meetings? I want your answer to that question. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th, 1-877-623-6943. Giving away Frank Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Let's talk about anything, anything in this world. But politics, religion, and her.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Audio Open the Lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, November the 12th, we're talking about the Supreme Court agreeing to hear a case on prayer before government meetings. They're not deciding whether or not these things are constitutional, but they are answering a complaint or attempting to deal with a complaint coming out of New York that these prayers are predominantly Christian, that they are inherently, inherently coercive and a sectarian endorsement, since most of them are Christian prayers being prayed at the U.S. House of Representatives, at the U.S. Senate, and at various state houses and legislatures, as well as their courts. I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Calling from Illinois, here is Tim. Tim, thanks for waiting on the line.
Well, thank you, Todd. Appreciate your show.
What are your thoughts here, Tim?
Well, I'm a pastor in the LCMS, and just thought I'd share my experience and the way I reacted to it. I was asked by our state representative a few months ago to come to Springfield and have the opening prayer for a session of Illinois State House. And I asked the representative, would I be allowed to, are there any restrictions on what I could say or could not say? And he said no. And I said, well, I would plan to open in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to pray in the name of Jesus, and that I would include the unborn in my prayer. And he said that was fine. So I was scheduled in. And then I received a letter in the mail from an official with the State House in Springfield. And he said this, I forgot his exact title, but he said, I should not use the name that's a name of God that's peculiar to any one religion in my prayer, which, you know, reading between the lines, I understood to me I shouldn't pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I was determined to go anyway, but it turned out that session of the representative, House of Representatives was canceled, so I never did get to do it, which is fine with me, but I didn't feel I could say no and refuse the chance to, you know, witness before kings, as the Psalms say. So that's my perspective.
So in essence, although you didn't finally get the opportunity to do so, you were determined, regardless of any restriction that may have been imposed in the meantime, to continue with your original plan, pray in the name of the Triune God, in the name of Jesus, and to make it a distinctly Christian prayer to the Christian God. And then what was the other thing you mentioned? Make mention and pray on behalf of the unborn.
Exactly. I was going to go ahead and do that anyway, and let the chips fall where they may. You know, I don't know what they could do to me except not invite me back, you know, which wouldn't hurt my feelings. So that's just the way it happened, and I haven't heard back since.
Tim, thanks very much for listening in Illinois, and thanks for your faithfulness, by the way, as well. I want to hear from the rest of you as well, 1-877-623-6943. Is there a place for Christians praying at the beginning of legislative sessions, at the beginning of government meetings? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Now, we've heard a couple examples, one that was explicitly Christian, one that was trying its hardest not to sound Christian, but sound as generically spiritual as possible. Sometimes the temptation when asked to pray before the session of the state legislature or in front of at the beginning of a government meeting is to grind an axe. Let's listen to an example.
Father God, I just thank you, Father, for what you have bestowed upon us and through the sacrifice of our brothers and our sisters, Father God, to ratify the Constitution of the United States, Father God, the fight, the bloodshed, and the sacrifice from World War I to World War II to Korea, Father, to Korea in Iwo Jima, in Vietnam, and Father God, Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think about their sacrifice when I go, Father God, to Arlington Cemetery, and I think that's the reason that I fight. That's the reason that I stand. That's the reason I encourage my brothers to do the same thing. They died so we could have the freedoms that we have today, and they ratified that Constitution and sacrificed their all for it. And I end with this. I know this is a non-denominational prayer in this chamber. It's not about the Baptists. It's not about the Catholics alone, or the Lutherans, or the Wesleyans, or the Presbyterians, Evangelicals, or any other denomination, but rather the head of the denomination, and his name is Jesus, as every president up until 2008 has acknowledged, and we pray it in Jesus' name.
So more of a speech than a prayer, even though you can interject Father God as many times as you want. It sounds a little bit more like a speech. By the way, that particular prayer was prefaced by about a two-minute explanation of why he was going to pray what he had to pray, and then a little jab at the current president at the end, a little implication perhaps that the current president doesn't pray in Jesus' name. That can happen too, right? When you give a preacher a chance to pray, especially if he has particular political leanings, is it a good idea? Should Christians absent themselves from this? Or if they should, or if they shouldn't, how should they be praying there? Is it an imposition of a sectarian viewpoint or inherently coercive to have Christians or any other majority religion praying to open government meetings? Harry listens in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Thanks for waiting, Harry.
I believe that the words, "let us pray," in that setting cheapens prayer. As Christians, we are to pray without ceasing. So it isn't necessary that we preface our comments with the words, "let us pray," in order to witness. Our very words should convey that. And as to what the content should be in various civic organizations, I think they should address their preamble. Now, in the preamble of the Illinois Constitution, it says, references Almighty God is the source of our gifts. And that would be proper to reference. And many things are proper to reference in such a prompting talk prior to any opening session, including reference to the fact that we should pray, but not be in a prayer, which is cheapened by that activity. Thank you.
Harry, thanks for listening in Arlington Heights. Matthew in Emerson, New Jersey, has this thought and question. He says, how does the church respond in light of our Lutheran understanding of two kingdoms? Does the theology of two kingdoms apply differently in different contexts? That is, a country like America that claims religious freedom, or a country like, say, for instance, North Korea, says Matthew, that persecutes Christians. Since the two-kingdom view is taken largely from Romans chapter 9 during a time when Christians were persecuted, how are we to understand a time when persecution could be headed our direction? That's a very good question. First of all, to answer your first one, and that is, does the doctrine of two kingdoms apply differently in different contexts? Not really. The contexts differ, but the application remain the same. We obey God
rather than men. When given the forced to make the choice between obedience to civil authorities and God, and this in our American context happens quite rarely. Although we did hear Tim call in earlier from Illinois saying he had been instructed not to pray distinctly in the name of Jesus, but was planning on doing so anyway, obeying God rather than men. I think the application of that just differs by the context. It's simply there are going to be times when obedience to God rather than men may cost you your life, not just not getting invited back to pray. So the question about two kingdoms, that is, God rules the world, but he rules this world in two kingdoms by two different means toward two different ends. In the civil realm, he rules through civil authorities that he raises up, according to his inscrutable will sometimes. He raises up the likes of dictators and emperors who persecute Christians. Yes, he does, St. Paul says. And they are there, as St. Paul tells us, to keep the peace by the sword, by force, and by reason. And in his right-hand kingdom, he rules toward the forgiveness of the sins of sinners, and there is no force, there is no reason, there is only the word and promises of God. Cynthia in Lincoln, Nebraska says, "My response to the example of the minister who followed a form similar to the Lord's Prayer versus the one who prayed more vaguely, what other kind of prayer would we want to hear in public at a public meeting? Watering it down so that you can't tell whom it is addressed would be inappropriate for a Christian minister or for any other honest minister of some other religion. If someone in the room can misinterpret the object of prayer and think it's another god, even if it is a generic knockoff of the true God, for this is still an idol, and this vagueness is on purpose. Is the prayer just causing further idolatry of some sort? If given the opportunity to pray," says Cynthia in Lincoln, Nebraska, "we should make sure that it is the right God and that our witness is sure." That's what she has to say. One thing Christians should never do in our enthusiasm to bear witness is allow the government to use us for its purposes. That's the very definition of American civil religion, when the state uses the church for its purposes. There's where my concern lies. Are we providing prayer, sincere prayer, on behalf of kings and princes and all kinds of authorities, as St. Paul tells us we should, and we don't have to do it in the state house if it becomes impossible? Or are we allowing the government, be it the state government or the national government, to simply use Christian ministers, other ministers, to act as a thin veneer of religiosity? That is, we make it look good to be there. Now, this is something that the individual's conscience must struggle with and in the end decide. Are you being asked to pray there because it looks good to have a guy in a collar stand up there? It's politically expedient. It serves the purposes of the state rather than... There's no doubt about it. Pastors that get up there and compromise their confession when they pray, they are just shills for American civil religion. Plain and simple, shills for American civil religion. I have no problem with the government saying we'd like to have a pastor there to make it look good. That's what the government does. They have all sorts of people standing around to make it look good. But the pastor's conscience ought to speak stronger than that. And it is not disobedience to the government to refuse such an invitation. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we continue our series on the Formula of Concord, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about good works. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.